chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 8. We do appreciate very, very much your presence tonight, all of you that are here. You are a blessing, and we thank you for being here. There's one thing I was going to mention during the announcements, but I was going to save it for the introduction. Tuesday afternoon, I have a regular yearly appointment with my cardiologist. There's a leaking heart valve, and he checks it, keeps an eye on it quite regularly. And the reason I bring that up is that I was in the office a while back there at the courthouse and was walking through the foyer out where the secretary and the receptionist is, and I telling them I have an appointment with my cardiologist. And one of the defense lawyers said, "What? You mean you've got a heart?" And I said, "Well, yeah, contrary to popular belief, I do have a heart." And part of our work in the practice of law, and this is where I'm going with this, is that when there's a criminal case that's come out of grand jury, we begin talking with defense counsel, and we do one of two things. We either work out a plea agreement, or if we cannot do that, we go to trial. And in the course of that plea agreement, both sides are not only negotiating, but both sides may do some giving and taking. It's called compromise. Now, in our study tonight, what I want us to do is go back to an old story that you're all familiar with, and that is Moses in his negotiations with Pharaoh. And you remember the story. God has told Moses at the burning bush to go to Egypt and to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now think about the magnitude of that. Moses at that time is a nobody. He's a shepherd. And all he's been doing is taking care of his flocks, his dead-in-law's flocks. He doesn't know anything about world leaders, and the most powerful human on the face of the planet at that moment was the Egyptian Pharaoh. And he's supposed to go down there and say, "You let my people go." And what is interesting to me, now this is before the plagues, what's interesting is the compromises that come back from Pharaoh. And that's what I want us to look at tonight. The way Pharaoh responds in this negotiation process and his method of saying, "Hey, let's compromise." Look first of all at chapter 8 and verse 25. "And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, 'Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land.'" And the point is, he meant in the land of Egypt. That was his compromise. Okay, you go ahead and sacrifice, but you do it here in Egypt. Now, the reality is, that was impossible for the Israelites to have offered their animal sacrifices in Egypt. It would have been an abomination to the Egyptians because animals were sacred to them. The god Jupiter was adored under the form of a ram. The god Apollo was adored under the form of a cow. The god Bacchus was adored under the form of a goat. And Juno was adored under the form of a heifer. And so it was an impossibility for the children of Israel to have offered their animal sacrifices in Egypt in spite of the compromise offered by Pharaoh. Somebody says, "All right, Bradley, what's the point?" Here it is. Listen to me carefully. Satan has no objection to you worshiping God, but just don't do it in the right way. Just don't do so in the right assembly. We live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And we're told that one religious group is just as good as another. And if that's the case, why do we teach different ways to worship? Why do we teach different ways to get to heaven? Well, the same issue here is what Moses is dealing with. I want to do what God says, but if I follow him truthfully, I cannot do it And it was as impossible for the Israelites to worship in Egypt as it was to not worship at all. It would have been an abomination. And once again, we live in a culture where just so you're religious, well, that's okay. Just so you have a sincere heart, that's okay. And that compromise just does not fit with Scripture. Now, look at the answer that Moses gives again in chapter 8 and verse 26. Moses said, it is not meet so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And they will not stone us. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, and as he shall command us. But look at the response of Pharaoh in verse 28. I'll let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. You shall not go very far away. How far away do you think God is going to allow us to go in disobeying him? Not very far. Not very far. Folks, disobedience is disobedience. And once again, we come right back to where the point we've come to so many times, big sin and little sin. No, it's in violation of what God says. And so the first compromise that Pharaoh throws out there is, okay, you go, but you just don't go far away. Well, that didn't work. Now turn a page or two in your Bible to chapter 10. In the book of Exodus. And look down at verse 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. Now this is again, we're in the midst of all of the plagues. And Pharaoh's trying to negotiate and compromise in light of the plagues. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are ye, or who are they that go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old and with our sons and with our daughters and our flocks and our herds shall we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. Well, look at verse 10. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you. Not so, go now ye that are men and serve the Lord, for they that ye did desire. And they were driven out. So what's he saying? First of all, he said, you can go, but don't go far away. Now he says, you can go, but the women and children have to stay. The women and children have to stay. See, the old devil never gives up anybody without a fight. And once again, this negotiation comes after the seventh plague, hail. And he says, you can go, but leave the children and women and children. Why? Because he knew they would come back. They're not going to leave their children. Now, let this soak in for just a second and think in terms of what the old devil is saying tonight in the church in the 21st century. Okay, mom and dad, y'all come to worship, but you leave the kids at home. I mean, it's a school night, and we got ball games. So leave the kids at home. After all, I mean, kids are a lot of trouble in worship. They make too much noise. They got to have a drink of water. So let's just leave the kids at home, right? Now you contrast that with what Paul's going to teach in the New Testament. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from you. That's Proverbs 22. Paul's going to say, children, obey your... fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. And I know I'm talking to the wrong bunch. But if we're content to come to church, to come to worship without our kids, are we going to be content to go to heaven without them? Let that soak in. See, that's the nature of the compromise Pharaoh was looking at. And when you really boil it down, it's just as real tonight as it was back then. Come on, leave the kids and the women and children at home. Well, that didn't work. Well, we keep reading. Look at chapter 10. Here's another compromise. Look at chapter 10, verse 24. Pharaoh called unto to Moses and said, "Go ye, serve the Lord. Only what? Let your flocks and your herds be stayed. And your little ones can go with you." So the compromise, okay, you can have the kids, but you leave your flocks and herd. And once again, that comes after the ninth plague, that of darkness. Now, how long do you think that's going to last? Once again, Pharaoh knows they're going to have to come back. They can't just leave their flocks and herd. Now, what's the point? The old devil says to you and to me, okay, you go worship. Even if you have to take your kids, that's okay. But spiritually speaking, you leave your possessions at home. You leave your money at home. You spend your money on what you want to do. You spend your money on what makes you happy. You spend your money as you please. Well, don't give it to the church. And once again, Satan makes an inroad every time. Every time he does this. And he knows that he can cripple the church. Are you listening? He can cripple the church if he can get us to leave our money at home, to leave our possessions at home away from this context. He knows he can cripple the church. And so his point is, just like in the New Testament parable that Jesus tells, leave God out of the equation when it comes to your possessions. That's the temptation, the compromise. Leave God out of the equation when it comes to your money, when it comes to what you own. It's not, oh, it's all mine. It's all mine. No, what? What did the Lord tell that fella that was going to tear down his barns? Remember that one? And build bigger barns? And Jesus said, "Thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be?" Same thing Pharaoh was saying in the olden days. Yeah, you can go, but you leave your possessions. So there's the compromises. Did you see it? Okay, you can go, but no, don't take your kid. You can go, just don't go very far. You can go, just don't take all your possessions with you. Now, how'd that work out? Once again, if you have your Bibles, in chapter 10, here it is, you knew it was coming. Bottom line, heart of the message, don't miss this if you miss everything else. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. And just listen to the courageous tone of Moses. "Our cattle also shall go with us." He didn't say please. "Our cattle shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither." Now in the 21st century language, we don't know what's out there in terms of what we're going to need to serve the Lord. But we do know this, we're going to need our cattle. They'd been commanded. Now keep in mind, this is before the law of Moses has been given. They ain't made it to Sinai yet, have they? And so they're still following the directions of the patriarchal age in terms of animal sacrifice. And Moses said, "We can't go out in the wilderness without that. We're not going to know what we're going to need in terms of going out into the wilderness. Now, it's a wilderness out there. As soon as the amen is said tonight, we're in the wilderness. Now, what are you willing to compromise? What are you willing to give in terms of what Satan wants of you? Your possessions? Your time? What about your loved ones? I don't want to think about how many people never say anything about God in order to keep peace at home. And it's a bluff that Satan has been running, and he has been succeeding for far too long. We have dealt with it in family after family after family. Oh, I don't want to push them. I don't want to run them off. I'm afraid if I do that, I'll lose them, and as kindly as I know how. You ain't got them to begin with. What do you mean you're going to lose them? You don't have them. And Satan smiles. And the Lord weeps. I've said repeatedly, there are only three times in Scripture where the Bible says that Jesus cried. He wept over the grave of Lazarus. He wept, the Hebrew writer says, there were tears in the Garden of Gethsemane. But it's that second time that Jesus wept, when he crested that hill and he saw the city of Jerusalem. And Scripture says that he began to weep, saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that were sent unto thee, as a mother hen would have gathered her chicks together, so I would have you, but you would not." Jesus was weeping as a weeping parent. Jesus was weeping as a weeping grandparent over family members and loved ones that are not right with God. And that was the compromise that Pharaoh offered way, way back in the early morning of time. And so once again tonight, I ask you, what are you really willing to compromise? Is there a line that you've drawn in the sand that says no more? No, I'll compromise, but I'm not compromised. And once again, we see this in the workplace. We see this in the school systems. We see this when dealing with athletics and with coaches. We're going to have practice on Wednesday night. Oh, are we? We're going to play games on Sunday. Are we? And these are the things that young marriages and young families are struggling with. The work schedules. And somebody says, "Oh, but if a man won't work, neither let him eat." As if that is going to justify the time that we spend away from our families and from God. And so this passage kind of speaks to the heart. It really speaks to the heart, to the real issue of, has this book really changed the way we think? Or do we just kind of go with the flow? And I'm aware of the fact that not only can you go with the flow out there, you can kind of go with the flow in here. Scripture says for us out there to be ye separate. Come ye out from among them and be ye separate. Do not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, the same thing can happen in the church as it does out. And that is that when it comes to our sharing of the gospel, when it comes to our living transformed lives, we just kind of go with the flow. Okay, I'm here, I sing, I give, I partake, I'm through, I punch my clock. And nothing ever changes. And we wonder why our congregations all over the nation are dwindling down to nothing. And they're closing the buildings and selling the property. And it's because we've compromised, and what did Paul say about that conscience you reach a point where it becomes seared as with a hot iron. And God help us to do just like Moses and said, no more. No, this is the word of God we're talking about here. This is God's will. This is not my opinion. This is not my judgment. This is what God demands. Now, from the early morning of time in the Garden of Eden until this good hour, has God demanded anything? He started with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and it was real simple. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we saw how that worked out. And then as the nation grew, they began to incorporate into their culture the gods, if you will, of other nations. And it diluted them and diluted them and diluted them to the point that they were unrecognizable. And God used his prophets, just like the Hebrew writer said. God had sundry times spoke to us through Moses and the prophets. And Moses gave them the law. And the prophets begged them to consistently be obedient. One we refer to as a weeping prophet. And I'm aware of the fact that we're going to be doing some crying at funerals. But we ought to be crying over the condition of the law. We ought to be crying over our lack of zeal. Because we're doing just what Pharaoh wanted us to do. Let's talk this out. Let's negotiate this. Let's compromise this. So then tonight, as we begin a new week, we need to leave this building tonight more dedicated, more consecrated, than when we came in. That there are some areas in my life where I have drawn a line in terms of morality, righteousness, obedience. And I've drawn a line and I'm not crossing it. I'm not going to compromise it anymore. Because quite frankly, I'm tired of watching Christians go down and down and down and down and down to the point where they just kind of disappear. And it doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. We can have more weeks like we had the one that preceded us where we had to use this baptistry outside a service or a scheduled time, where people are sharing the gospel with others and telling people about a God that loved them and a Jesus that died for them and about a family that wants to serve and build one another up and hold one another up based on what God says, not what we feel, but based on what God says. And so if you need the prayers of this church, if you need to be baptized, we're going to sing a song of invitation to encourage you, and we invite you to come. While we stand, while we sing, Matt will lead us.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you full?